The LexisNexis Corporate and Securities Law Community Podcast. Presentations and interviews with leading attorneys and industry professionals. On this edition, Christopher Lamb of Parker McKay in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, on proper corporate documentation. The opinions expressed by guests interviewed on LexisNexis Legal Podcasts do not necessarily reflect those of Reed Elsevier Incorporated, LexisNexis, subsidiary companies, shareholders, employees, or customers, and should not be considered legal advice. I'm Steve Bursler of LexisNexis, and with me is Christopher S. Lamb, counsel at Parker McKay in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Chris focuses his practice in the areas of corporate and business transactional law. He has extensive general corporate experience in mergers and acquisitions, advising businesses on general transactional matters, finance and real estate law, and organizing limited liability companies, limited partnerships, investment vehicles, and other entities. Chris, great to have you with us on this LexisNexis Legal Podcast. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Our topic of discussion, corporate housekeeping and its importance. But I guess before we go any further, it's important to define what is corporate housekeeping.
Corporate housekeeping, in a traditional sense, connotates a lot of different things. And generally speaking, it includes even just the decision to form a corporate entity and not run it out of an individual's own personal name. So just making that decision to form an entity and then following through on the corporate formalities that are required, that can be viewed as corporate housekeeping. But the sorts of things that I find myself in my practice focusing in on more importantly are the corporate documentation that governs the relationship among the business owners and the principals, because that aspect of corporate documentation has to do with how they're going to do business together.
Absolutely. Important considerations, to be sure. But evidently, good corporate housekeeping is sometimes overlooked. Why is that?
Well, there's a lot of misperceptions out there that I find in my practice that business owners have when you raise the aspect of possibly discussing corporate housekeeping and corporate documentation. And some of those have to do with, corporate housekeeping, don't you really mean just getting our papers in order, and if we're not being sued or we're not suing someone, isn't that just for the file, so to speak? So they look at it as kind of an unnecessary use of their time. And or they may consider it to be a use of company funds, i.e. legal fees, that could be better applied to reinvesting in the company or anything other than just sort of pushing paper. And some clients actually have asked me, well, we're a small, mid-sized company. Our issues, aspects of our business aren't really that complicated. So aren't you really talking about something that's more relevant for companies that have more shareholders, more complications with partners? So we're just a small company. It's just 2-3 partners. We don't really think that's necessary. These are all common misperceptions, and they really are dangerous misperceptions to hold.
What are a couple of examples of the types of information you're talking about, specifically with these documents?
Well, the typical hot button areas have to do with the business owners, the shareholders, agreeing who will be the shareholders. I mean, we obviously know who our partners are today, but what if we want to admit new partners? I mean, how do we handle having new folks come into the company? And on the other side of that coin, how do we handle it if I want to retire or you want to retire, or I may want you to retire? So then you have the exit conversation. And in between, you have sort of the what-if scenarios. And I call them the doomsday part of the conversation I have with my clients, because we have to talk about things that are not necessarily front of mind but need to be addressed. And then things such as, well, what about what happens to the company upon an owner's death or disability, or something happens where they are drawn into a matter outside of this business where their ownership in this company, their shares, may possibly be at risk of being attached in a separate proceeding. So these are all sorts of things that no one is really thinking about in the normal day-to-day, because everything is on the up and up. Everybody's looking through rose-colored glasses. So the typical hot-button areas are when you really force business owners to think about, what if the relationship is not how it is today, and you start having conversations about how will the company survive, if it is going to survive, if the current partners are not continuing along the same lines as they are today.
It sounds like many of these are common issues for small and mid-sized companies. So is there like a one-size-fits-all type of template that can be used for corporate documentation?
Well, that's sort of the second part of the common misperceptions, because if I do get the clients to agree that this is something we need to address today, one of the responses may be, well, can I just simply use something I found online, or a prepackaged corporate kit, if you will? And the answer is most generally no, because those are useful documents in the sense that, you know, the reader can identify what the areas for discussion are. So they're useful as a guideline. But like anything else, there's really no way to tailor a document that's going to fit everyone's situations. For example, a company may have business owners where one is in a different generation than the other. So their hot button issue is going to be succession planning. Off-the-shelf documents may cover it in a paragraph or a couple sentences, but if you just sign without getting a lawyer to become involved in it, I mean, it could have very drastic sometimes and definitely unintended consequences. So the answer is no, there is no off-the-shelf product that's just going to simply be applicable to every business, no matter how basic their business model may be. And the other thing that I find is clients saying, well, my personal attorney who does my family planning, my estate planning, I'll just have them do it. In some instances, that may be appropriate. But if transactional work is not in an attorney's normal field of expertise, there may be some conversations and some issues that they're just not simply aware of to raise with the client in the first place. And if the client's not going to ask the question, then you still have the same unintended result. You're going to have documentation that may not cover a very important area that should be included.
Yeah, I guess these companies are made up of individuals, and those individuals have individual issues that you need to tailor the documentation to, right?
That's right, because the business owners may be individuals who may be all in the same age range, and they have certain interests. They may be very similar in that respect. They may be very different. You may have, as I said, in a family-owned business, for example, you may have different generations all owning the same company, where you have a younger generation who maybe inherited shares, and their business partner is their uncle or another relative. So there's different areas of importance to each shareholder. And I'll just add that it's also important that the attorney have a conversation with the business owners, in that if the interests are not aligned, so they all have common interests for whatever reason, it's important to recommend that each business owner seek independent counsel if that is their preference, because a lot of times you may have situations where it's just not appropriate for one attorney to be representing the interests of all the shareholders. So if you don't have an attorney involved, again, the business owners who are trying to do this by themselves or with off-the-shelf software, they're not going to know that they have the right, really, to seek independent counsel and have someone act on their individual behalf.
Okay, so I've done all this. I can file it away. It's over and done with, and I don't have to worry about it ever again, right?
Well, I tell my clients, in a perfect world, that is true, because we've addressed all of the hard issues. We've had all the hard conversations. All the important things have been addressed. They've thought about it. They've had independent counsel, if that's their choice. And they provided for it properly in a well-written document, so that when the situation does arise, it's not taking anyone by surprise. They've already provided for it. They may refer to the documents to see, again, how what's supposed to happen. But it's not something where they're going to be negotiating right then and there how to address the issue. So, yes, in a sense, in a perfect world, the exercise is done and the document itself is not part of the day-to-day of the company. However, companies evolve. They are living, breathing things. So there may be some changes that need to happen. So the document may need to be revisited, but at least you have a very good starting point to make adjustments at that point. They should only be viewed as adjustments and not negotiating anew.
No, not wholesale changes.
Yeah, negotiating anew and basically disregarding all the work that was done previously is sort of defeats the purpose of having those hard conversations up front.
This all sounds like a lot of common sense stuff, and I guess it makes sense to address corporate housekeeping issues before issues arise, before internal issues come up.
Yeah, I mean, because the problem is when there is a dispute and the documents don't provide for it, then the parties are really at a very hard spot, because they are forced to negotiate with each other how to resolve the issue. Unfortunately, they're doing it in the context where now they are viewing each other as adversaries. They're across the table from each other, whereas in the beginning of a relationship, they are technically on the same side of the table. They are partners in every sense of the word. So they are more willing to have very upfront and frank discussions. And the beginning period of time is really when you want to have all of those hard conversations, because no one is viewing the other as an adversary. If the issues arise and now you have to negotiate, well, how do we resolve the issue? They're at a disadvantage because, like I said, they are trying to outdo the other, and it's not really a great starting point for any real negotiations.
There are some differences in these corporate housekeeping issues when you're talking about a smaller mid-sized company as opposed to a larger corporation, correct?
Yeah, and a larger corporation, if it's, for example, the other end of the spectrum, a public company, these issues don't really apply because by virtue of being a public company, the owners of the company are members of the public, and there are no agreements that cover these sorts of hot topic areas. What I'm really talking about is the small to mid-size and even large private companies, where it's a privately held company, so the owners have the opportunity to enter into these private agreements that provide for what the relationship is going to look like. So even a small company that has two partners should have proper corporate documentation, because I can't tell you how many times I've seen situations where it's two partners, it's 50-50, they view everything as an equal partnership across the board. But then when it really comes down to it, one views the other as sort of inferior to him or her. So if the documents provide for those sorts of things, great, it's already been addressed. Unfortunately, a lot of times they are working off of a handshake agreement or an understanding, an implicit understanding that we'll just work things out because we're great friends or we're relatives. But there's nothing, there's no documentation that solidifies that and keeps everyone's feet to the fire in terms of what that relationship should look like. So unfortunately, even in the smallest of companies where you have at least two partners, if you don't have corporate documentation, you're really chancing it if disputes or issues arise that's not properly provided for.
You mentioned a number of issues that can arise. Can proper corporate documentation, though, uncover other issues that a business would need to address?
Yeah, that's a great point, because a lot of times in going through this process, it involves, in my practice, it involves me becoming very closely and fully involved in the client's business, what the business does, how they run it, how they view the relationship, obviously. But also, in that process, I will start to come across things that I also want them to address and be aware of. For example, we could be getting into conversations about their contracts and relationships with their customers and vendors and the relationships with their employees. So we get into conversations about labor and employment matters. The business owners, because it is typically a small, mid-sized business, the business owners themselves, they're individuals and they have estate planning needs that typically dovetail with what the company's documentation looks like. So there are a lot of opportunities and areas where just simply talking about the corporation and the corporate documentation leads off into all these other conversations about the company and everything the company's involved in and the business owners and what they are involved in personally. And it's really a good opportunity for the lawyer, but also for the business owner, to realize that this is a great time to sort of get everything taken care of at once, because some things, like I said, they do naturally dovetail with the others. So it's hard to work on and resolve certain issues without naturally getting into the other areas that are involved. For example, like I said, estate planning and the corporate documentation itself, typically they are very intertwined.
Chris, in wrapping up, what practice tips or final thoughts do you have as far as good corporate housekeeping is concerned?
I would say, as a business owner, if the question hasn't been approached or asked by the attorney they typically come in contact with, and again, it could be their litigation attorney or their personal attorney, it doesn't have to be a transactional attorney, but any attorney they're involved with, to just ask the question about, could you look at my corporate books, or could you have someone recommend someone who would look at my corporate books? Because just getting that process started by the business owner shows a willingness to really take control of their company for the company's best interest and their best interest. And for the attorneys, my advice to them is to likewise ask that question of their clients, because once both the business owner and the attorneys can get past the common misperceptions about it's going to be a very lengthy, expensive process and it may not even be needed, once you can get past those myths, then you know the real work can be done, and the long-term benefit and the advantage to the company and the business owner individually, they just far outweigh the risks and the disadvantages of not having proper corporate documentation in place.
Sounds like excellent advice. And Chris, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to join us for a few minutes to review some of these things and offer the tips that you have today. Thank you very much for being with us on this LexisNexis Legal Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Christopher Lamb, counsel at Parker McKay in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Thank you for listening to this LexisNexis Legal Podcast. Visit the LexisNexis communities. Like the communities on Facebook. Follow them on Twitter. The LexisNexis Corporate and Securities Law Community Podcast. Copyright 2012 by LexisNexis, a division of Reed Elsevier Incorporated. All rights reserved.